Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Dummy call. That's the nothing personal word of the day. Good morning. It is Wednesday. Okay, here we go, Coca. We got to be better than that. It's just a thing. 4, 7, 8, 6, 9. Dummy call. That's the nothing personal word of the day. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. And boy, did we get a dummy call last night. Dummy call is when you go to the line in football, the quarterback's under center, he's lined up, standing right over his guy. Maybe it's Jim Otto. Maybe it's Dwight Stevenson. And you got it. You're going 4, 8, banana boat, ice cream, pops, the arch, left. And none of it means anything. That's what a dummy call is. The opposite of Omaha. Manning's audible. It's just a fake. It's a fugazi. It's nothing. That's Aaron Rodgers, and that's RFK Jr. It's my lead story today. That's L-E-D-E, because I've got some funny observations about what it would be for Aaron Rodgers to be on the presidential ticket as an independent with RFK Jr. And I'm not making this up because I couldn't have made this up. If you had asked me the possibility of RFK Jr., who are his VP candidates, if you gave me a million guesses, and all the Monday morning quarterbacks are going to hear today, oh, this makes perfect sense. We saw this coming. Not. No one could have imagined. I assumed when I got the alert from Coca, which I tend to do during the course of a day, yesterday was a remarkably busy day. I still got a movie in. Just to the brim of stuff. Coca sends me this topic, and I assumed it was from The Onion. I assumed it was a joke that RFK Jr. is considering Aaron Rodgers as VP, and Aaron Rodgers has been open to the overtures. So I immediately drop what I'm doing. I call Coca, and I say, where did you get this? What's the source? He said, I'm not going to send you something that's not sourced, David. I need you to really think about this, because this could be our lead topic tomorrow. He actually approached Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura. Now, Jesse Ventura happened to have been the governor, don't forget that, of Minnesota. He actually, it's like not taking Ronald Reagan seriously because he was an actor, or Arnold Schwarzenegger seriously because he was a bodybuilder. Those people were governors of a big, complicated state. Minnesota is a complicated land of 10,000 lakes, an amazing state. He was the governor. It's an interesting, I don't think that I would have led the show were it to be that RFK Jr. is having Jesse Ventura as a VP candidate, because that's not impossible. But Aaron Rodgers. So Woody Johnson, who is the owner of the Jets and a supporter of Trump, was the ambassador to England when Trump was last president, gave up operating the Jets to his brother, moved to London, and was the ambassador to the UK. That's a good one, because you get not just Britain, you get all of the UK. There's a lot of UK. So Woody Johnson reads the news. Do you think he calls Aaron Rodgers? I got a few calls in my head right now. The first one is the Woody Johnson to Aaron Rodgers call. I think the call goes something like this. Aaron, just throwing this out there. Are you a Jet? Because if you are a Jet and a Jet all the way, and I understand you don't smoke and you won't be with us till your dying day, but it would occur to me that after what happened last season and the check that I wrote to you to play four snaps and the excitement you had about being the fastest guy to come back, I thought that you were committed to the Jets. Oh, Woody, I'm so committed. You have no idea. Right now, I was given an entire book to read to really drum up on the issues, to confirm the fact that vaccines don't work. I needed to read to make sure that I understood how we were going to pull out of every conflict in order for there to be no more war anywhere. I got to read about that. I'm also reading up very carefully on the latest science, but I have promised to dedicate 6.9 minutes a day to learning your playbook. I really will. Don't you worry. Aaron, I'm not sure what to tell you here, but, you know, Salah's job is on. It's all because of you. Everything we've done here is because of you. You can't do both. Woody, that's where you're wrong. Can you do me a favor and speak to RFK Jr. and so he can tell you what my responsibilities would be? No, Aaron, I won't. So Aaron outlines to his teammates what his responsibilities are as a vice presidential candidate. First, he has to prep for his debate with Vivek Ramaswamy, who could be Trump's VP candidate. Put in Kamala Harris. Can you imagine a three-person VP debate? Aaron Rodgers stands up there and he's got his book in front of him, what he's supposed to learn. And the way they schedule the VP debates, they've got to have scheduling people. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a whole office of people. And the way you do it is easy because it can't be on a Sunday. We know that. And try not to have it on the walkthrough Saturday. But Fridays or Mondays are terrific. We'll take Monday off or Friday off. Woody, it's no problem. And I really won't hurt the Jets. And we'll prepare. I'll be ready. RFK Jr. tells his staffers, it's fine. We don't need Aaron around all the time. We'll have him halftime. But you don't realize the votes we're going to get in Green Bay and New York for this guy. We're going to win Wisconsin. We have a chance to take New York, to say nothing. What about Florida, where football's huge? Do you think Aaron Rodgers would give up $35 million to be a VP candidate? That would be great. Aaron Rodgers, who obviously is all about the money. Oh, do you know who has agreed in principle? It has not been announced, but I heard that McAfee will be the moderator of the VP debate with Rodgers. I mean, talk about ratings. It's a bonanza. I can picture Netflix carrying it as their next live event. Forget CNBC and Fox and CNN, MSNBC, the VP debate with Aaron Rodgers. It could be on Max. I don't even mean Newsmax. I mean Max live. I think Netflix would get the bidding, though. It's better than Tyson versus Paul, that ridiculous match that, of course, I'm going to watch. Rodgers at a VP debate? I'm practically shivering with excitement to hear him articulate his views on the issues that matter to us. And may I point out that no matter how old RFK Jr. is, the VP debate this election cycle matters. We're not talking about a bunch of spring chickens running for president here, as Biden and Trump have locked up their respective party nominations. Don't worry, it may not be Aaron Rodgers. The other possible name, it could be Tony Robbins. I would get so motivated if Tony Robbins came up there in a debate telling me to feel better about myself and how to go seize the day. Carpe diem, I love that. Makes me want to run through a wall. Aaron Rodgers makes me want to run into a wall. Can we get the video of Succession, Coca? Can you pull up right now Cox, Brian Cox, who played the father in Succession when he looks around the room at his kids in one of the final episodes of the final season and says something like, "You are not serious people." That's a father talking to his kids. I'm looking at our country and I'm looking at this ridiculousness of Aaron Rodgers. And the first thing that comes to my head is, we are not serious people. Even close. You won't Google Cox at 8 a.m. You can just Google Succession. Coca, you're funny. Now, are there things that you don't Google ever? There are things I don't Google ever because like, people could look at the Google. Of course, if you Google COX with Succession with you are not serious people, that you are in no danger. It's not like you're Googling the homonym at 6 a.m. or 8 p.m. That's how I feel. You know who's not serious? The Yankees. This bothers me because I did it too, but I didn't do it as well as the Yankees do it. When you want to hide injuries and lie to the fans and the media about injuries, it's very easy to do. The Yankees always finish in first place in the survey done, internal survey, with a plus-minus ratio of 30. But the internal survey, margin of error of 30, I should say. I'm cracking myself up today. When you do a poll of 30 people and your margin of error is 30, it likely means the poll is not serious. So when I say, I'm just trying to explain what I said. So all the new people, and there's so many new people watching Nothing Personal. Thank you so much. When I say something like, hey, when there's a poll done about who's got the worst reporting, who lies the most to the media about injuries, and the margin of error for the poll amongst MLB team presidents was 30, that is your cue that, oh, Samson, I get it. There is no poll done about who lies the most about injuries. But yes, we all do it. The Yankees are just more famous for it because they're more famous for everything. They have not been upfront with you about Gerrit Cole at all. And that's just the latest example. Booney, you know I love Booney. He was a former Marlin. But him giving you a bunch of horse hockey, telling you that... Where'd it go, Coca? I was on such a roll. I was right there. I can't find it. There's some quote that Boone had. There it is. Thank you. It was E. It was very small letters. Hold on. Let me put on my 1.5ers that I haven't replaced yet. If you're watching on the Nothing Personal with David Sims. There it is. Damn it. All right. Wipe it. Here we go. We'll edit this in. Just do the transition easily. All right. And six. Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson, live. Aaron Boone said about Gerrit Cole, it's probably going to be a couple days till everybody weighs in on it. I love you, Booney. You know I do. He had the MRI Monday. Today is Wednesday. Are you talking about getting a second, third, and fourth opinion? Anytime a player gets an MRI, the team doctor looks at it. That takes 5 minutes. Then the player gets to choose a doctor. It's not given to the player doctor by Pony Express, folks. It's not even FedEx when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight as long as it's not on Chuck Nolan's plane. No, it's emailed, not even faxed. You don't have to wait for the doo-doo ping. It literally is on the computer of the second doctor faster than Aaron Rodgers can look up what VP stands for. Then, if you would like a third opinion, have at it. Do you know they can be simultaneous? This smells of Boris. This smells of Snell. This smells of the Yankees trying to make this not as bad as it actually is which is what the Yankees do for a living. But sending poor Boone out to say it's going to be a couple days till everybody weighs in, it's a couple minutes. Thank God we got one bit of truth. Gerrit Cole not available for opening day. That's what I told you yesterday. The minute that he was shut down, the minute you're in the tube, you're out a month. It's pretty good math to always think about. Tube, month. Fallopian, month. He's pitched two innings, folks. The good news is that Aaron Judge didn't listen to the show yesterday, which made me sort of sad. I wanted Stanton to maybe pass the show over to Aaron. Little clip about what I said about Nestor Cortez and Yankee players not commenting on other players' injuries. You just don't want that to happen. Aaron Judge, who's hurt himself, talked about Gerrit Cole. I know he's not bouncing back the way he is, but that guy's a perfectionist. I'm hoping the best news, even if it's him being out a couple of weeks, I'll take that over anything worse. We're all praying for the best. A lot of prayers are going on in New York right now. Meanwhile, Judge had to get an MRI also for something with his abs. I don't know if you've ever seen an MRI, but you don't get to see the six-pack. You're looking for strains and tears and various other equipment that could be lodged in someone's sternum. But you're really, though you can see that from an x-ray. But Aaron Judge going into an MRI and then, according to Brian, saying that the goal would be to play for opening day. The goal, that's good goal for Aaron Judge. But I'm not going to push it. Can you imagine a scenario for the Yankees where on opening day, neither Cole is pitching? And then, of course, Aaron Boone says we're discussing who's going to start opening day. Just give me a break, would you? It happens very fast. We know if we have an injury, we immediately start talking who's going to start. Stroman. Do you remember when the Yankees lied about Judge's turf toe? They didn't even call it turf toe. Trying to think he was hurt. What did he miss last year? Like 2 months with that toe when he ran into the back wall and the Yankees underplayed it. Then it was 2 weeks. Underplayed it, DL. Underplayed it. Oh, man, this is going to hurt the rest of the season. I think he came back like at the end of July. And Aaron Boone misled us on that. What's going on with the Yankees? I think Judge will miss opening day, even though Boone says he may swing. He was scheduled to hit BP, but they're not going to play him till Wednesday. We'll check to see whether he's in the lineup today. But I would bet you dollars to donuts that Aaron Judge is not in the spring training lineup today. As a matter of fact, just because I'm on such a roll, make it a wait to see, Coca. Aaron Judge will not play today in a spring training game. And I'll go even further. Today's Wednesday, March 13th. Aaron Judge will not appear in a spring training game again this week. Earliest will be Saturday. I think he's hurt more than you think. I really do. The Yankees were smart to leak through Nightingale that they've made a new offer to the White Sox regarding Dylan Cease. I'm going to explain why. It is very rare that I would trade my best pitcher now. And I'm talking about from the White Sox standpoint. I know my team stinks. I know I'm going to lose 100 games. I know I've got a great asset. Maximizing a starting pitcher does not happen on March 13th. You want to maximize his value. You get a couple months into the season and show that Cease is lights out ace for a crap team. Put him on a good team, goes right to the top of a playoff rotation. The risk is that Dylan Cease gets hurt. That's a risk I'd be willing to take because you only get to trade a player once. You can screw up that trade, even trading a player at the top. But the White Sox have no incentive to trade Cease right now. The Yankees would have to overpay to acquire him. Not necessary. Wait to see how good he is, then overpay at the deadline. And wait to see if you're even in it. If Cole is out for the year and Judge is going to be hurt again and G is not going to have a productive season and Verdugo is going to be a nightmare and yada, 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 yada. And Stroman ends up not being spring training Stroman, have one good month and then want to get another contract and then stinks after that. If all those things happens, you're looking at another season without the playoffs. So I don't think now's the time. So why would it be leaked that the Yankees have made another offer for Dylan Cease? I wonder if that's a direct leak in order to inform Scott Boras, you better not be increasing your ask. You ought to be decreasing your ask on Snell and Montgomery, because we're not doing it. Boras is calling Steinbrenner saying, what are you doing? It's another season. If you don't win it now, you're going to have to fire Boone and Cashman for sure. Everyone's getting a year older. You've got Juan Soto for 1 year. He's my guy also. Now, wink, wink, Hal. You want to give Juan right now 500 over 10? Right now. Done. That'll really show your fans that you are serious about winning. Can't you just picture Boras doing that and Hal Steinbrenner telling him to bugger off? But yes, a team would definitely want to leak that they are interested in a starting pitcher when one of their pitchers goes down, when there are free agent starting pitchers who have unreasonable demands. Boras, meantime, would look at that and not give an inch. We've got a full standoff going on March 13th. All right, when we come back, let's take a break, Coca, Sarah. We're going to bump out Smooth as Silk. Wasn't that smooth? What happened to the break?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
We had a whole meeting about breaks and bumps and grinds. Thank you for rating and reviewing. I think that still matters, but I think really just downloading, subscribing on YouTube, and telling people about our show. That is what I want to see. So please keep spreading the word. I watched one of the nominees for documentary short yesterday, and I went down a rabbit hole. 27 minutes of your time. Written and directed by a woman named Sheila Nevins, who I would say, and there wouldn't be much argument, is the most prolific and the most terrific and the most lauded documentarian of all time. That feels like hyperbole, doesn't it? Did I go too far? Is it possible no one's ever heard of her except me? The ABCs of book banning. How many of you were aware that Toni Morrison's Beloved is banned in Florida? How many of you were aware that the Nazis burnt books during World War II so people couldn't read and learn about anything other than racial cleansing is the way to go? How many of you are aware that books are being banned in schools about same-sex couples, transgenders, black people, Mexican people? Stories that are real stories and important stories to be told so kids can learn. How many of you are aware about what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida as easily the most disgraceful governor in our union. Regardless of where my politics are or yours, here's the problem. To ban a book is to say that what is written is no longer necessary to be learned. And it is insulting to every student and parent and teacher where you are saying that you don't believe in their ability to cull information and then be discernible as they decide what information they want to believe in or not. I'm nothing personal. I love giving you all different sides of an issue, a sports issue or a business issue. And then you decide. You don't have to agree with me. Some of my favorite comments are when people say, I love listening to you and I barely ever agree with you. Great. I don't want you to just agree with me because you like the show. I want you to think about issues. How do you ban books? What is your reason for banning books? Because you want it to be, you want people to read in the home. You want the parents to have more control over what their kids are reading. And there are certain parents who wouldn't want their kids to know anything about the possibility of two dads or two moms. Boy, that's healthy. You wouldn't want the kids to know anything if the parents didn't give permission about our history of slavery and oppression and genocide. Nah, let's let the parents decide if the kids know. No. The reason I love school is I don't want parents deciding that. I want kids deciding that. I want a kid to be able to go home to his racist parents and say, wow, I just read a book. And you know what occurred to me? Your views stink. You want to find a way to break racism or break all the homophobia or break all the anti-LGBTQ or break all the people who are not willing to live and let live? The only way to do it is for those people to die. That's it. Because they're not changing. Kids can change. It's our best hope. Unless you all want to live in that world. I don't want to live in that world because it violates the only principle I have, which is the ultimate selfish principle, which is leave me alone and let me do what I want. And in return, I promise you, I'll do the same. The ABCs of book banning gives you an idea of what children think when they are given these books to read, and then they're told that they're banned, and they say, sorry, why is that? 27 minutes of your life. I'm asking for it. And then I'm asking you to really think about the issue. Just think about it. Wherever you are on the scale of politics, right, left, center, I don't even think there are Republicans and Democrats anymore. Everyone is so interested in being on the total end of the horseshoe. But wherever you are, get to me, David P. Sampson on Twitter. I'm happy to enter into this discussion with any of you. I want to know the pros of book banning. You know what's amazing? That you can screw things up so badly. Ron DeSantis, the aforementioned least effective, most horrific governor, who actually was running for president as the I can beat Trump. And turns out that Ron DeSantis couldn't beat Aaron Rodgers for VP of anybody. As governor, I don't know if you know this, he signed a bill recently. The state of Florida will no longer fund diversity, inclusion, equity, DEI, diversity, equality, inclusion programs. What does that mean? That means that if you go to a college that gets state funds and there's a program, there's like a chief diversity officer. There's no longer funding for that chief diversity officer. So that chief diversity officer basically gets fired. Like the University of Florida eliminated 13 full-time DEI positions, 15 administrative appointments, gone. They halted all the contracts with outside vendors that were diversity-based. Whatever your view is of diversity, equity, and inclusion, whether you feel like you've been wronged by it, whether you feel like it's not enough for you to make up for all the wrongs that have occurred to you, whether you feel like you're at advantage now, at a disadvantage now, whatever the case may be, just, again, a quick question for you to ponder. When you've got the governor telling you that he doesn't want you reading certain books, and by the way, let's not even involve ourselves in this diversity stuff, is that where you want to be associated, no matter what color you are? There's a letter that the NAACP president, his name is Derek Johnson, he wrote a letter to the president of the NCAA. Basically, the NAACP, that the organization, they are trying to get students to decommit from Florida schools. All of them. FSU, University of Florida, Miami, private, public, doesn't matter, UCF. His point is very simple, that diversity, equity, and inclusion are paramount to ensuring equitable and effective educational outcomes. The value Black and other college athletes bring to large universities is unmatched. And if these institutions are unable to completely invest in those athletes, then it's time they took their talents elsewhere. What he's really trying to say in that statement, and he wasn't as clear and clean as he clearly could have been, is that why would we ever want to bring positive attention to a state that is so busy bringing negative attention to us as a race? And that's what Ron DeSantis is. And if you want to believe that Florida is completely racist, up north, down south, whatever you want to believe, if you want to believe that there's not one Black player who will not go to a Florida school because of what Ron DeSantis did, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. There are plenty of five-star Black athletes who are going to look at this and say, I don't know that I want to be in Florida if I can match my deal. And this is where we run into a problem. And I am certainly not in any way impugning the decision by any kid to go after money. My entire show is it's just business. It should not be an 18-year-old's responsibility to uphold the values that should exist in our country. If you've got a deal to make money from the University of Florida and you can't match that anywhere else, I would not expect, if I'm the president of the NAACP or anybody, for that child to decommit on principle. I'm not a big fan of the on principle, standing on ceremony. I'm way too direct for that. I believe that as an 18-year-old, if you want to get your public sea legs below you and you want to get involved in the conversation, fine. If you want to be Jordan and not be involved in the conversation, fine too. I never criticized Jordan for not being political or Jeter for not being political, only for beating the Knicks and making terrible commercials and being a bad president of a team. That's all I would ever say badly against Jeter and Jordan. So certainly to put that responsibility on an 18-year-old the way the NAACP is now asking, I think is not reasonable. But bringing the issue to the forefront is what the NAACP should do and is doing. But the act that they are requiring, it bothered me a little bit, because what does a kid do who's trying to provide for his family, wants to play where he wants to play, and now could feel so guilty that he's doing something against other Black people or against the NAACP? So the better solution is to show Ron DeSantis that this is not going to stop us from becoming a racially tolerant city, state, country. I don't know why I woke up March 13th living in dreamland, but I did. The NCAA, really, there's nothing they can do. I understand this story has more to it. It's going to be interesting, and we'll follow it for you here on Nothing Personal. We definitely will. Thank you, Derek Johnson, for making this an issue. And no thank you to Ron DeSantis for making this an issue. We had a win last night. Knicks minus six over the Sixers. It's the nothing personal pick of the day, brought to you in 12 days by 33-34. We should have been back to 500, but I stupidly had us do the parlay. Parlays are hard to win. We had the Knicks money line check, and I thought they'd go over 208. Nope. Final score was like 106-79. Didn't even get over 200. We weren't even close. Maybe we're going to start getting lower scores now. I'm going to have to start watching for that. I didn't look at the other scores yesterday. Were there any 150 to 140 Johnsons? Or are we back to, we're trying to get back to the 90s? All right, Eddie Money, I'm with you. It's time to go back. So we're 33-34. We're still down a few shekels, not many. And we're almost back to 500. Big game in Miami today. The Miami Heat are plus 4.5 at home versus the Denver Nuggets. Lucky enough to have seen, look at me, David, the Denver Nuggets up close and personal. The Heat love playing the best team. They lost their last home game to the worst team in the league, and now they're going to win their next home game to the best team in the league. And that is the story of the Heat. We're taking the Heat plus 4.5 versus the Nuggets in Miami. Smooth break. Patrick Mahomes. Did that pop the microphone? I didn't mean to. I'll do that better. 4869. I love you, Patrick Mahomes. You are the least selfish player of anyone I know. You may be a villain because you like playing the part, but every time you restructure your contract, you are making a statement to your teammates. You're making a statement to your city. You are putting team ahead of person. Let's not quibble with the fact that you have incentives that if the Chiefs make it to the championship game and the Super Bowl and win and you're the MVP, that you get paid millions of dollars. Let's not talk about those. Let's just talk about the selflessness of the recently announced restructure to save $20 million of cap space that you just did. Isn't that adorable? Is he reminding you of the GOAT Tom Brady, who always would take less money now, knowing that all he had to do was retire and go to Fox? He'll make more than he ever made in his career, plus all of the outside business interests and a piece of ownership with the Las Vegas Raiders. Still not approved. I want to explain what restructuring means. It means that you have an owner who's willing to spend more current day cash. Just so we're clear. That's all it means. The cap hit on Patrick Mahomes was going to be $58.5 million. Now it's going to be somewhere in the $37 million range. Maybe they used already that cap hit by signing Chris Jones. Although Chris Jones, I think the way they did Chris's contract, he only counts $7 million against the cap. So just to be very clear, the way this works. Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, has a salary cap. Dead cap money counts toward your salary cap, but it's not cash out of your bank account. Cash out of the account is what players should be focused on. Other than who's over the cap, under the cap, dead cap, live cap. How much money is this owner paying? How is there a player survey that has Lamar Hunt in the bottom in terms of as an owner when he's won back-to-back Super Bowls? Yes, he has. He's now going for back-to-back-to-back, was willing to do a restructure for Mahomes in order to use more of the cap for current day players. I don't understand why anyone's complaining. Mahomes is signed through 2031. It is 2024. Just want to make sure you're all with me on that. If Patrick Mahomes keeps restructuring, keeps putting out years, keeps figuring out ways with the cap meisters, the cap masters, they are cap meisters, the cap masters to arrange it so Lamar Hunt and the family is consistently outspending the cap, what more do you need? A better weight room? Give me a break. Here's the choice. I would give this in the clubhouse right now. And there are players, I guess like a Heath Bell, who would choose for better equipment. But how about this? Would you like us to refurbish your clubhouse at a cost of $8 million? Or would you like us to split the $8 million amongst you as players? Yeah, you're right. That's too easy. You're going to say yes to that. How about another one? Would you like us to spend money on renovations and on PR campaigns so that you like me? Or would you like us to spend more money on the players in this room by bringing in more and us being better for longer? Where's that survey question? I'm not still bitter about the NFL survey. I don't really care about it. I mean, I assume it's a total poppycock survey, and I'm still analyzing it because I remember clear as day how low the Chiefs were, and I remember laughing. It's so ridiculous. Their facilities, their weight room, their training room, their owner are all like 31 out of 32. Oh, but they're really good at choosing rings. This whole restructure thing is very, very normal. Josh Allen's doing it. You think the Bills aren't trying to extend their window? Anyway, I'm going to give you a wait to see right now. Did I do a wait to see yet today? I don't know whether I did. I think I did. I think I did an easy one. Wait to see Gerrit Cole would not play in a spring training game before Saturday. No, Aaron Judge. Got it. Let me give you another wait to see. And I've got a little wager if you want to make it. The Chiefs right now are plus 310 to win the AFC title. Plus 310 to get back to the Super Bowl and defend their defense of their defense of their title. To pay money to Pat Riley, this is their moment to go back to back to back and make it a three-peat. I'm going to give you a wait to see right now. The Chiefs are going to make the AFC Championship game. I'm going to start there. You're going to call me a total wuss. But give me a break. Let's start with that. We're not doing it as a pick of the day. We're not wagering yet. We'll get there. For now, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes will make it back to the AFC Championship for what will be, God, wouldn't it be great if I had this right at my fingertips, right at the tip, right here, the tongue, right here where it burns when you eat something really hot and then you get a little white bump and then you're constantly playing with it with your teeth and rolling your teeth over your tongue and making it worse. And don't tell me you don't know what I'm talking about. That. I believe it's their seventh straight AFC Championship if they would make it again. Can I give you all a word of advice? Don't do anything that can sacrifice your freedom. There is no amount of money. You'll play the game. How many millions would it take for you to get in the ring with Mike Tyson? You'll play that. How many millions to spend a year in prison? Would you spend a year in prison? Who hasn't played this game? If you were given $10 million, would you spend a year in prison? What about a day? One day in prison. Now you're in the general population. No protection. You got one day. $10 million. Amit Patel is going to be in prison for 6.5 years. That imbecile, disgraceful, moronic criminal is going to prison for 6.5 years. You know the story. He's the Jacksonville Jaguars employee who stole... He is the Jacksonville Jaguars employee who stole their money. The Jaguars, of course, didn't notice. Ridiculous. I can't believe their president hasn't resigned already. But money just went missing. And he was buying boats. He was gambling. He was doing drugs. He was doing all sorts of stuff. They caught him. He pled guilty to stealing $22 million. Guess what? Freedom gone. 6.5 years. And by the way, return the $21 million. Here's the problem. It's up his nose and in his toes. There is no money. The likelihood of Jacksonville receiving $6.90 from this man is de minimis. Teensy tiny. He actually, during the sentencing, had to give a statement. I stand before you embarrassed, shamed, and disappointed by my actions. I can never truly convey how sorry I am to everyone affected by my actions. All right? All's forgiven. How does it work that way? I'm trying to imagine for anyone who worked for me and with me in those 18 years in baseball, if I could have missed $22 million. No, I could have missed $22. I could have missed $220. I could have missed $2,200. I even could have missed $22,000. I wasn't going to miss $220,000. And I certainly wasn't going to miss $2.2 million. And I wasn't going to miss $22 million. What bothers me the most about the absolute ineptness of the Jaguars front office, on top of that, the crime that this employee committed, and then the ridiculousness of trying to convince the judge, the sentencing judge, you have no idea, I'm sober now, I'm seeking help. I'm so sorry, I'm shamed, shameful. Have you ever noticed that every time I bring up a subject like this, all these people are embarrassed and shamed and shameful. I'll never do it again. But they felt great until they got caught. Everybody feels great till they get caught. Then they're a sex addict. Or they're a gambling addict. So ashamed. Horse hockey. He's got 6.5 years to think about it. And then a lifetime to have his wages garnished. Good luck, Amit. It's just business. This is nothing personal.